each day and hand along the way, walking thus I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus. If my night of darkness is spared, Jesus heard and answered prayer. Now I'm walking free as air, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus. When the stars are back of road, and His home I shall behold, I will walk the streets of gold, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way, walking thus I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus.
Let's mark our books at number 715. 715 will be the song of invitation after our lesson tonight. And then let's turn to number 449. After this song, Calvin, could you lead us in a word of prayer?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing.
Lord, we pray so hard
for those of our number that are sick and suffering. Amen. And if it be thy will, that you return their health to them. Again, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us from the time we're born until the day we die. We thank you, Lord. These things I ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, the consideration of God the Father and God the Son in reference to this morning, we want to picture ourselves in the mind of God as he described himself and described his Son in the Word of God, because Jesus was the Word. And in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was the creator. And the Father asked of him that he direct this situation, and he did so successfully. In John 1 and at verse 14, we read that he was the Word of God, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Since he was to come to earth, he wanted to represent the cause of the Heavenly Father. And in John 12 at 49, he said, "The word I speak unto you, not my own, but my Father who gave me these words, the commandments that he gave me to deliver unto you." And thus Jesus was faithful to deliver that word unto the people of his day and time, and to be recorded in time, but the Holy Spirit directing them to continue it down the stream of time, to faithful men. You remember Paul's admonition to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 2, "The things thou hast heard and learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So the idea is that you and I were taught by somebody who was taught by somebody who earlier was taught by somebody, all the way back to the time which the apostles were themselves taught of the Spirit of God and recorded it for us to have in posterity. And so the things I hast heard and learned of me among many witnesses. There was a proof text of that. There was a confirmation of it being done as Paul delivered that message. The miracles that he could perform showed that he was from God, and that he could deliver the truth, the message of God, to be delivered. He talked about those who would not follow the word of God. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. He starts out a conversation about that. He talks about how the church of Christ salute one another with a holy kiss. The church of Christ salute you. Mark them, he says in verse 17. Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, and avoid them. For they are that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Well, since they speak for themselves and by their own volition, are they giving glory to God and truth of the Lord? Is that the idea? No, they're not. They're not staying with the word that was delivered. Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you've learned of us, and avoid them. The practice is underway that we need to follow, and the teaching of God's word by these apostles. As a result of that, the word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us, we need to expound, we need to talk about. There are those who believe in the religious world at large that there is but one of the Godhead, that the Father and the Son are one and the same, and the Holy Spirit is one and the same with all, that they're together. But in John chapter 17, Jesus talked about delivering them, because the fact that he would pray to the Father, and the Father would do this for him. He will send the Holy Spirit, who will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. He wasn't alone. But whatsoever he shall hear from the Father, that will he speak unto you. He will show you things to come. The Heavenly Father had words whereby the Spirit of God could deliver, and deliverance would be in order of Jesus as he left this earth and did not have the time yet to deliver it to them. He says, "If I do not go to my Father, the Spirit will not come unto you. And thus he wanted the Spirit to come and be the generation of which is described, that he would be the dispensation of the Spirit of God. And so we live in that dispensation today, and we live with the knowledge of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among men, and thus we find ourselves thankful that that has occurred as we go forward. The Christianity that he set forth, as the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, in Acts 11 verse 26, we find that the disciples themselves were learners and followers of the Lord. And we become ourselves disciples as we learn of his way. Desiring to become Christians, we find ourselves walking in the same path that they did in that day and time at Antioch. The disciples became Christians first at Antioch. And as they did that, Christianity itself was a religion that was set forth for the world. That religion, you'll find as you read in the scripture about them, was not a religion of sorrow and gloom. It is the religion of meaning. It is the religion of happiness and heaven above. It's the idea of going on to be with the Lord Father himself in heaven. Christianity brought a real need for mankind, satisfied a real need for mankind, because the teaching was of a new life and a new way of doing things. As we tell the truth to people, as we're kind and good to people, as we're thoughtful and helpful to people, it leaves a trail of light wherever we may go. When we remember someone from days gone by, we remember the light that they showed to us. We remember the influence that they gave to us. We remember them by name many times, but more especially we remember them by the light of their lives as they lived it, as they practiced that way of life. It has become our way of life too. Christianity will bring zest and sparkle to life. It'll bring a joy when we know we can be forgiven. We know that we can live it faithfully with him and his way. Indeed, he brought us grace and truth. It is noted to us in Colossians 4 and at verse 6 that we're always to speak our words seasoned with salt. That we're to be people who do this because we're to season them and have grace by which we may season those words with salt. And if we'll choose that, we know that the idea is that the seasoning is for a long period of time. It is a lifetime of activity. It's many years of time. And we practice that way of life, and we're glad that we practice that way of life, because it is that word that is, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. It's for a purpose of answering people in a right kind of way. Now back in the book of Proverbs, vividly before Jesus had come to this earth, the message was delivered to people very vividly. In Proverbs 15:1, it is noted to you and me that we're to be people who use not rough words, but gentle words, called in the King James soft words. Soft words that turn away wrath. Words that are gentle, that turn away wrath. But grievous words, he said, if we choose them, they'll stir up anger. If we're talking to people and they become mad and angry at what we're saying, perhaps it is the choice of words that we have been setting forth in front of them. That's why I advised a long time ago, along the way, and I've advised you as well, to get into a practice, a habit of raising questions to people rather than making statements to people. Making statements to people will often put them in defensive mode, often get them in a way of resistance to what's being said. But to raise a question to them about, what does this verse mean to you? What does this say to you? What is your understanding of this idea? For example, when someone says that there's only one in the Godhead, what about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? That's all just one person. Well, what did Jesus mean in John 16 and 17, in the which he said, I'll pray to the Father and he will send another comforter to you, another of the same kind, another like me, another like I am. but it's another. What does that mean? Some will explain that it means a simply way that Jesus, when he prayed to the Father, that he threw his voice. He just deceived the disciples in believing that there was somebody up there in the heavens, and he threw his voice toward heaven and spoke to them, because later on they would be praying to the Father in heaven, to him in heaven, and that would be the case. But our Lord Jesus did not act that way when he spoke about, I will pray the Father and he will send another comforter to you. And the word another is a word for another, not of a heteros kind, a different kind, but of an allos kind. He will send an allos, another of the same kind that I am, to you. He will not, though, speak of himself, but what he hears, he will speak to you and show you things to come. That's the way that the word is. And when we find ourselves using gentle words that turn away wrath, and grievous words that stir up anger, the difference between those two takes a practice on our part. It's a lot easier for us to tell people off rather than raise a question that will guide them toward thinking for themselves and seeing a word of truth. There are people who will tell us that and note to us about that, and they will with you. It takes practice to do it. It's not done quickly and it's not done immediately. When we've been talked to all our lives and told what to do all our lives, it's not going to be an easy thing to raise questions by which we can seek understanding and they can seek to explain it in a less different way. But those questions are worth saying, they're worth using, and they're worth helping situations in people's lives. Proverbs 25 and verse 11, again, wise man Solomon directed the thought and idea. He said, let your words be fitly spoken. Fitly spoken. Not just off the cuff, not just quickly, but something that's fitly spoken. The word of God, Jesus Christ, came to this earth in a fit way, a fit time. In the time in which he came, he wanted to deliver his people of Israel. He wanted to deliver them when they were in darkness, as John would describe, and did not see the light of Jesus. He turned the message to the disciples to go out and teach all people, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation tonight, think about your relationship to God and think about the way in which you find yourself honoring that Word of God. As Jesus came to this earth and delivered us his word, he was the word in person. And he delivered the message of his heavenly Father, which will ultimately, Jesus said in John 12:49, judge us in the last day. Are you subject to Jesus' invitation? Come as we stand and as we sing together.
Will you come with your broken heart? Burden with sin oppressed, lay him down at the cross of your Savior and Lord. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest. Happy